Amen. How many are you looking forward to dwelling in the house of the Lord all the days of your life?
Amen.
That time is coming. And until then, there's work to be done. We're going to be faithful. Being faithful involves working for the Father, but we only work for the Father as we are connected to Him. Before we go into this next session, maybe just give a couple minutes for some others to get back in here. Let's do this, okay? You aren't here as a spectator. This isn't a show this morning. You're here as participants, okay? So, I'd like for you to turn to the person next to you and just say, here's one thing that God was telling me through this first message. There's one thing that stood out to me that God spoke to my heart, okay? So let's just do that. Tell the person next to you, here's something I learned. Here's something that God spoke to me. So person next to you, in front of you, behind you, go ahead and do that. I'll just give you a couple moments. And if God didn't tell you anything, just tell them that God didn't say nothing, all right? It's a healthy practice for us to have. More important than talking about the weather and politics and news after the service is, what did God say to me? So what we're going to do in this next session is look at the spirit of this world, but we're not going to go out into the world. You're not going to see the spirit out in the world only. It comes within the church. And by the way, I'm taking in preaching these two sessions together, this comes from our Try the Spirit series that we have available both on CD and DVD, a series that we were burdened to develop because of what's happening in our churches today. And so if this is something you say, I would like to share this with somebody else, what I shared first, and then again, now this session are the first two messages, and there's two more, and those are available if you're interested. But again, this is not a promo. This is what God laid on my heart for us to hear. And not only is this session here going to help us understand how the spirit of this world, how deception comes, and how these false claims of God's spirit and how it leads people away, but as we look at this, it's going to reveal what the spirit should be in the church. Okay? So this is very, very fitting for us. The spirit of this world. Let me tell you another story. This happened quite a few years ago, 1 year at IGO, as we were there teaching. On a Saturday evening, we invited all the staff and the students to come to our house, and we had supper there in the backyard, and plenty of room for people to hang out, and then play basketball out front or run around the house, or we did some singing inside and play games and just good time to get the students out of the building at IGO and to come over, and our family always enjoyed doing that. And so students were all there, and I noticed, you know, after we were eating, and I can still remember standing by the corner of our house, the backyard, and standing next to the dean, and I said, you know, a certain young man isn't here. And normally students all come to us. I said, where is he? He said, I'm not sure. And I was a little bit concerned about him. And I said, well, you know, check on him. Make sure he's doing okay when you get back to IGO. He said, okay, he will. We went on, had a good evening. The dean got back to IGO, and the student wasn't there. So he called me. He said, he's not here. I said, that's not good. So I tried to get in touch with the student. And it took a while, and finally I was able to get a hold of him through his cell phone. And I said, where are you? We missed you tonight. Where are you? And these are his exact words. I'm hiding out with Jesus. Well, that sounds good. Okay. Goodbye. We're hiding out with Jesus. I said, where are you? Well, just me and Jesus. We're just hiding out. I said, what's going on? And it took a while for me to get this young man to say, well, I'm actually at a guest house, and a messenger has told me that I need to get out from all man and just follow Jesus. That meets the first test of trying the spirits. Follow Jesus. Get out from all authority. This messenger had told him that people like Val and Rick will only take you so far, but if you really want to, you really want to go all out for God, you got to get out from all man-made authority and just follow Jesus. So here's what was happening. This young man, after the students had left to come to our house, he packed up all his things. Now, he had been there for 7 months. He's got one more term, and then he's done. He packed up all his things, and he went to a nearby guest house. His only problem was his passport was in the office in a safe. I said, "Can I come talk to you?" And he agreed I could come talk to him. So I got in my van, and by now it's past midnight, okay? I went to the guest house where he told me I was. I went up on the second floor, and I was just shocked. I came into this room, and there's two single beds. He's sitting on one bed, and he's got his two suitcases and his carry-on on the next one. He's packed up to go back to the States. God had been doing a work in this young man. Wow. And I just said, "So what's going on?" And then he just started telling me how this messenger, who's this messenger? It's a friend from back in the States. And he's telling him that just follow Jesus. You need to get out from all man-made authority and just follow Jesus. Well, and he wasn't slandering Val or myself or Igo. But he said, you know, man's just only going to take you so far. And we don't want to just go so far. We want to go all the way. So get out and follow Jesus. Wow. You see, man's going to keep you down and man's controlling. I said, is that, have Val and I been controlling? No. I told him, I said, if it's the best thing for you to go, if you really want to go, I'll go back. I'll get your passport. I'll take you to the airport. I'll help you go. But is that really what you want to do? And as we sit there and we talked on that bed for a while, he came to the realization that, you know what? He doesn't want to leave. God had been doing work. He doesn't want to leave. So I helped him. We took the suitcases, went back. We got in my van. We went back to Igo. And by now, it's somewhere between 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning. So everybody's sleeping. It's all quiet. And if you've been in Igo, you know that the dorms are on the fourth floor of our four-story building. So we come in the first floor, and the guy's dorm, you go to the left. And so we went up through the chapel, and then you go on up to the third floor into the classroom. And I'll never forget this. We got into the classroom. And he just kind of set his suitcases down, and he looked at me, and he said this, "It is so good to be back." That's significant to me. He had only left several hours before. But he paused. "It is so good to be back." Because in his heart, he was leaving. And there wasn't a peace that's the right thing to do. But a messenger's telling him, and he's going to go all the way. But when he came back, it's so good to be back. And I praise God that that young man didn't follow through in listening to that messenger. He came back, and he stayed, and he finished, and God was able to continue working. And then when the semester was done, he went home. Brothers and sisters, you say, "Wow, that is far out." No, that's one of us happening right under our teaching. How does that happen? Here we go. Here's how the spirit of this world is going to lead man. This is how these false movements work. I'm going to give you 6 spirits of this world, and I'm not saying that this is an all-inclusive list. There are more for sure, but there's 6 ways that I have personally seen and that scripture talks about that I'm going to give you. 6 ways that the spirit of this world are going to lead man to. Here's the first one, isolation. And this spirit is an anti-relationship spirit, okay? Let's just look at some scripture on this one here. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. A spirit of isolation, it isolates you. When a spirit like that is working, it's pulling you away from others. And I said this over and over, I think it was last night. God's a relational God. And anytime there's somebody that's trying to pull you to draw away from people that's not of God, oh, we need to come away. We need solitude time. We need time alone with God. But God's a relational God. And when God dwells within us, when God's Spirit's leading us, he's going to lead us to connect, not isolate ourselves. So the spirit of this world, it leads to isolation, anti-relationship. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in fact, this passage is loaded with things on here for us. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members that are of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. And if we were to go on into this passage, in fact, turn your Bibles there, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There's some good things for us here in understanding this. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not the eye, am I not of the body? Is that therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. And if there were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And brothers and sisters, you as a body of Christ, as a local body, you represent that body of Christ. And it's important that we understand that you are not the body of Christ. You are a body of Christ, the body of Christ as a local body, but there is a universal body. When Scripture talks about, in the New Testament, when we talk about ecclesia, which is the Greek word for church, when it talks about the ecclesia, the church, it refers to it in two different senses. One, in the local sense. Two, in the universal sense. Sometimes it's talking about in the universal sense as the bride of Christ. Sandy Ridge is a local body. It's a church. But it's not the only church. It's a part of the universal bride. Some people today use this. They say, well, I don't have to be a part of a local church. We don't need church membership today. And what they do is they say, the hand doesn't need the body. They don't say it in those terms because it wouldn't work, but that's what Paul says. I'm the eye. I don't need the rest of the body. I can make it on my own. No, you can't do that. A spirit of isolation where we pull back? No. You need to be connected to a body. Well, if this isn't the universal body, I'm going to be a part of the universal body. How are you going to do that? It's physically impossible to connect with the whole body of Christ throughout the world. You can't do that. There are dear brothers and sisters meeting in Vietnam today, and how are you going to stay connected to them? How are you going to submit yourselves one to another to the church in Vietnam? It's not going to happen. It's physically impossible. That's why we have local bodies throughout the world, and we connect and we submit and we work out our salvation. We serve God together as a local body. And we understand that we aren't the only body. But we need to be connected to a body. And God works through local bodies throughout the world. Spirit of isolation, anti-relationship. We're going to go, we'll talk more about this in the number three, in the third spirit that we look at. The second one is a spirit of rebellion, anti-authority. What that young man, what that messenger was saying to that student was, you just follow Jesus. You know what? He wasn't pointing to Jesus. He was an anti-authority spirit. Rebellion. Get out from under your authorities and just follow Jesus. You see how that's cloaked? Just follow Jesus? Yes. But it's saying, get out from under authority. That's not following Jesus. There's a contradiction. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that's unprofitable for you. If somebody's telling you to get out from authority, that's not the Spirit of God. That's the spirit of this world. You see, even Jesus himself was a man under authority when he was on this earth. There is never a man or a woman who doesn't need authorities in their life. And woe is that person who is out from all authority. We need authorities over us. We need accountability. When we have this anti-authority spirit is alive and well. And that was going on. And you know what? Later on, as I talked with this young man that I told you the story on, as I talked with him, and I said, who is this messenger? It was somebody back in the States who at one time was very zealous about God and missions and had led vision teams and this kind of thing. And somewhere, and here's my burden, here's why this makes me sad, and here's why I give this to you now. Somewhere, somebody led him into thinking that, you know what? I don't need authority. Just follow Jesus. And he bought into it. And at that time, that messenger, and by the way, it's a real person, okay? It wasn't some spirit who was saying it. It's not like he was listening to some other spirit. It was somebody messaging him saying, you get out from all authority and just follow Jesus. That brother who was zealous for God left church. Oh, he didn't leave God. He just left the local body. He doesn't need church. And on Sunday morning, instead of going to church, he'd take his boy and go fishing. Oh, that's a great thing to do with your boy. We'll go fishing instead of going to church because he doesn't need church. It's him and God. And that man who at one time was zealous for God just lost all zeal and fire for God. You know why? Because he didn't try the spirits. And at one time, and by the way, let me say this. Often those who are the most zealous and hungry and eager are the ones who are the most susceptible. Be careful. Be careful. Try the spirits. That messenger, that story of that young man is one of many stories that are said. I had a young man sit in my office. He's so zealous about what's happening in Laos, and he thinks God may call him there. And his girlfriend, he wants to go back to the States and marry. She's been in mission work, and she's like a pillar, and this is just really good. And it happened that they got married while we're back in the States. Wow. So my son and I, who were in the area speaking, we got to go to the wedding. And most of the IGO alumni get married. We couldn't go to the weddings because we're all on the other side of the world. So we got to go to this one. So we're at the wedding, and wow, what a beautiful wedding. And there's excitement over this. Several years later, I find out from friends of this IGO student that they've left the church. Oh, they didn't leave church. They went to another church where God's Spirit's moving. It was a movement that had kind of swept the area. And so this young couple went with it. And they're all excited. And you know what's interesting? Is their former friends, they couldn't approach them. When they wanted to talk to him about, no, they're unapproachable. Today, I don't know the exact time frame, but I believe it's within 6 to 8 years from leaving their church and going with this movement. This young man who sat in my office, who has zeal and passion for Lao, who's got a former missionary that's his wife, and they're excited. They don't go to church. He's drinking alcohol. They're lost in the world. How does that happen? They were just like us. How does that happen? Spirits like this. It happens. It happens. It's happening. Rebellion, anti-authority. God's not in that. The world may cloak it with just follow Jesus, but no, God's not in that. Here's the third one, an independent spirit, anti-brotherhood. Oh, let's look at this one here. Let us hold fast our profession of faith without wavering, for he's faithful that promise. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. So this was already going on back then. But exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. I still remember Saturday morning we were preaching and singing on the streets of St. George's in Grenada. I was kind of off the side of the group there, and a gentleman came up to me and says, so where are y'all from? And I said, you know, we're from Lord Mennonite Church up in Pedmonton. Oh, okay. And we chat a little bit. And I could tell that this guy wasn't trying to heckle us or against us, because I don't remember what all we talked about, but he quoted scripture. I'm like, oh, okay, this guy's a Christian. So eventually I just said, so what church are you from? And I'll never forget his response. Church? I ain't need no church. I had a church right here. I was a lot younger, a young pastor, and at a church right here. Well, Jesus dwells within us. So if Jesus is within me, then at a church right here? Okay. Is that right? At a church right here? No. That's wrong. I'm a member. Jesus dwells within me. His Spirit dwells within me. But it doesn't make you the church. That spirit is cloaked with pride. I need a church. I had a church right here. No, you're not a church right there. You're a member. You want to follow that out? Pluck your eye out and say, you know, go at it. Your eye's going to, it's not going to make it. Your hand needs the body. Your body needs the hand. And brothers and sisters, the flip side of this body needs your gifting. You're a member of the body. You bring something to the church that's necessary. And you need the church. We need each other. We're members of the body. And there's not a lot that our body can do without, you know, tonsils and wisdom teeth and, what, appendix? And I'm sure they've got purposes, but it's interesting that that's the picture Paul gives us. You know, I never have this debate when I get up in the morning. You know what? Should I care about my hands more or my feet? You know, my feet are never saying, why are you always covering us up? Everybody can see your hands and nobody sees your feet. That's not fair. Put gloves on, leave us bare today. Never an argument. You know, I got up the other morning, I'm like, you know what? What would I rather lose, my heart or my head? Yeah, exactly. That's stupid. We don't do that. Isn't it amazing how we can look at our giftings within the church and to say, I wish I could do that. Why does he always get to do that? I wish I was gifted like she was. Come back to the body, to Paul's picture. We're members of a body. We need each other. God has gifted us. And you have a necessary part. I don't want my teeth saying, use me to haul wood. No, I'm not using my teeth. That hurts. I'm not a beaver. My hands are for that. When I sit down to eat, I'm not going to use my hands to crumble up the steak. No, my teeth will take care of that. And we're not going to argue and brag about it. No. Brothers and sisters, you have gifts that God gives you, and they're needed in this congregation. Don't compare. Those who compare themselves among themselves are unwise. Don't compare, but don't shrivel down and say, my gift isn't needed. A healthy body has members that work together. And an independent spirit is anti-brotherhood. We need the body. We need the body. Let's move on to the next spirit of this world, spirit of self-exaltation, anti-brokenness. This one is so prevalent in these Holy Spirit movements where they're not true. I had a missionary friend. He wasn't an Anabaptist, but a dear brother that I connected with. We'd meet for prayer, and he had had interaction with a lot of different circles and interacted with some charismatic Christians. And they ask him, said, have you ever spoken in tongues? And he said, no. And they said, well, then you don't have the Spirit of God. But they were nice enough that they wanted him to have the Spirit of God. So they said this, we're going to have you kneel down here. So he was at this place with this other group of Christians, and we're going to teach you how to speak in tongues, because if you speak in tongues, then you have the Holy Spirit. So they had him get down on his knees, and they would pray over him, and nothing happened. So they told him, he says, open your mouth. And then they told him, now start making noise. And he's like, I'm not going to do that. Like, that's dumb. I'm not going to do that. And then they began to little him. See, you don't have enough faith. You don't have the Spirit of God. That's why you can't speak in tongues. Okay, time out. We don't teach people how to have the Spirit of God. That's not of God. And we never belittle people. God's Spirit is never in that. Oh, you don't have the Spirit of God like I do. That's a spirit of pride, and that's not of God. Self-exaltation, anti-brokenness. You know what God's Spirit does? He humbles us. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, in the mighty hand of God, that he may lift you up. But even in that lifting up, it's that we point people to Jesus Christ. So let's just look at some scriptures. There's a whole lot of scriptures on this one here. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? Malachi 6:8, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. There is a marked difference. We live in a day and age where we need Christians to be bold. Amen? We need to walk confidently. Amen? You know what? Our world likes bold. Right? Our world likes confidence. Or you're weak. So our world likes boldness. We're to be bold for Christ. Oh. So we'll fit right in. No, worldly boldness and godly boldness are polar opposites. You see, the difference is worldly boldness, there's pride. It's about me. Godly boldness, there's a brokenness and it's about God. It's not about me. Peter set out to be bold. By nature, Peter was bold. And when Jesus says, you know what, all of you are going to betray me. Peter's like, I won't. Not me. Jesus is like, yeah, actually, Peter, you're going, he says, all you're going to be offended because of me. You're going to leave. No, I won't. And he says, well, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. No, I will not do that. I would die with you. Oh, we like that confidence. We like that boldness. You know how that ends. I don't know him. Yet surely you talk like it, your speech betrays you. No, I don't know him. Yeah, I think you're one of his. And then he begins to curse and to swear. I don't even know him. Wow, how did he get there? He was bold. He was confident in his flesh. He was not broken. Can you be broken and bold at the same time? That's godly boldness, is brokenness. What's amazing, Jesus, in that story, Jesus looked at Peter. And this is how God works. He looks at him, and I think it was a look of love. And you know what Peter did? He went out and he wept bitterly. I believe that Peter was broken that night. And later on, we read that Jesus, after he had died and rose from the dead and he's back interacting with some of the disciples, he specifically went to Peter and he said, Peter, do you love me? And he starts out with, and again, looking at, we have one word for love. It's called love in the English language. The Greek has, what, I think four words for love. And he says, do you agape me? I asked my young son that one time. So I was studying on this. I said, Rondell, do you agape me? He looked at me, he's like, no. Agape is a sacrificial love. Peter, do you agape me? And Peter says, you know I phileo you, which is friendship love. I should go to that text. But Jesus asked him three times, which I think is significant. Three times Peter says, I don't know you. And Jesus asked him three times. He has opportunity to say, yeah. But when Jesus says, do you agape me? Peter is broken enough that for him to say, yeah, I have a sacrificial love for you. I can't call my commitment to Christ that. I have a friendship love for you, Jesus, he says. Jesus says, feed my lambs. Peter, do you agape? No, I just phileo you. And then finally, Jesus brings it down to his level. Peter was broken when he realized that in and of himself, he can't do it. He may say, I will never deny you. He did it because he was not broken. You know what I love? As you get into Acts and you read where Peter is brought before the religious leaders because he's been preaching and teaching in Jesus' name, and they're threatening him. They're going to beat him because, you know, what they've been doing. Supposedly, I'm not certain on this, but I believe it was in the same hall where Jesus said, or where Peter denied Jesus. And it's like God gave him another chance. He's back in here, and they're saying, we command you not to preach in this name. And Peter says, whether we obey God or man, you decide, but we can't just help but testify what God has done. And there's Peter, who is confident and bold and yet broken. And his boldness is pointing people to Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm a follower of Jesus. I've seen him and I can do. No. Whether we obey you or God, that's up to you. But we can't help but just testify of what we've seen and done. And Peter is known as a bold man for Jesus Christ. But true godly boldness did not come until he was broken. And the spirit of this world works in a self-exaltation, anti-brokenness. We have some more verses here real quickly. Matthew 18, whosoever therefore should humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You know the only way in the kingdom? It's why. It's how. It's by humbling yourself. There's no bragging in the kingdom, because how'd you get in? You weren't born in the right family. You weren't raised in the right church. The way you got in is by saying, I'm a sinner. Amen? I'm a sinner. I need Jesus. That's how you got in. There's no bragging in the kingdom. We got in by God's grace. Everybody gets in the same way, acknowledging they're a sinner. So not one of us can brag about who we are and how we got in. And by the way, let me just do this yet too. The Apostle Paul says this, I'm less than the least of all the saints. Whoa. Less than the least. He says it three times. I'm less than the least of all the saints. Paul, how many missionary journeys did you go on? How many churches did you plant? How many elders did you ordain? You know what? I'm glad he didn't keep track. That's kind of a testimony of who he was working for. Paul, you did all these things. You are not less than the least. Okay, Paul needed to tell people that. I'm the less of the least. I'm the least of all the saints. He needed to tell that because he's preaching so much and people are learning so much from him. He needs to say that so people know that he's humble. That's false humility. I'm going to make a statement here so you think I'm humble. I'm less than the least. You know what? That was not false humility. Paul did not say, I'm less than the least of all the saints so that people think he's humble. Paul really believed it. You see, Paul understood that you take the grace of God out of his life, and guess what? He's back over here, dead in his sins. He's persecuting the church. He says, I persecute the church. I don't deserve even to be in God's kingdom. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. It's only by God's grace. And you take all the wonderful things that I did, Paul is saying, You take God's grace out of my life, and guess what? None of it happened. You take God's grace out of your life, and guess what? You've done nothing of value. If you're starting to lift yourself up because I led somebody to the Lord, I went out witnessing, I started this ministry, I'm in charge of, you start lifting yourself up, you're forgetting. How'd you get in? By the grace of God. And it's only by God's grace that you're able to serve him. We, in the same way, we didn't deserve it. But God, who's rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we're dead in our sins, God made the move. God reached out to you. You got in the kingdom by God's grace. We got nothing to brag about except the grace of God. Amen? It's all the grounds all equal in God's kingdom. Only God could set up a kingdom where there's no big shots. The only way to get in is by humbling yourself. I like to be part of that type of a family. Another verse yet. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. James also says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. There's no big shots in the kingdom of God. Let's look at the fifth spirit here. The spirit of this world will lead man to, and here it is, self-guided, anti-surrender. Likewise, ye younger, let me give you a verse here in 1 Peter 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You know when due time is? I don't either. We're called to be faithful. We're called to continue to sow or to serve. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't get weary in the planting, in the watering, in the sowing. Don't get weary. We're going to reap. We're going to reap a harvest. When? In due season. When's due season? I don't know. We continue serving. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. We're not trying to be exalted. That's not what it's about. We humble ourselves and we just serve God. We just serve God. We're not doing it for recognition. We serve God. That's our part. Ephesians, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We could take a whole sermon and just unpack this right here. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And this teaching in itself is a case. And I don't know where you're at with church membership. Because there's movements and there's people that are against it. You know, why do we have to have membership? Where do you have membership in the Bible? Well, Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. What church was that? That was the church at Ephesus. Who went to the church at Ephesus? I'm sure they had their people that was their church. However you want to do church membership, you have to have a place where, yeah, that's my church, okay? And we may do it different ways, but we need to be a part of a local body. And a movement that's against membership. I was preaching and afterwards talking to a young man. And he said this. He said, you know, he's talking about, agreeing with what he heard and how God had been working his life. And tell me some testimony. Oh, this is really good. And this guy's excited about God. I said, what church do you go to? And he said, I don't really have one church. And I just go to a lot of different churches. And I said, but what about brotherhood? How do you have that? Oh, yeah, I've got brothers, you know. I said, I want to pray for you. That God convicts you that you need to get plugged into a church. And he was nice enough, he let me do that, but he didn't agree with me. He just kind of goes around here, there. How's he going to obey this scripture? Submit yourselves, therefore, one to another in the fear of God. You know how our body functions well? It works together, okay? Every morning there's a portion of my body that says, no, stay in bed. I'm not sure which part that is, I need to work with it. But somehow somebody wins and we get out of bed, right? We submit. It's not like, okay, some of you go shower, the rest of us will sleep. No, we got to work together. It's interesting that Paul uses our physical body to give us a picture of church. You've got to submit yourselves one to another. And you can't do that if you say, you know what, every man for yourself. If the church is going to get the work done, there's got to be a working together. We've got to be connected. We've got to come together. And if we're going to work together, there's got to be a submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. An anti-surrender, self-guided. I ain't need church. Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Brothers and sisters, we need to hear from each other. We need people speaking into our lives. For by wise counsel, thou shalt make thy war. In the multitude of counselors, there's safety. And that can happen as a body of Christ. Let's look at one more. The last one here is secrecy. Anti-confession. When sin happens, most times it happens in secret. And anytime somebody is saying, you know what, here's some things God's doing, don't tell anybody. The student at IGO, his messenger, he wasn't just telling everybody, you know what, I'm telling this guy that he needs to leave, get out from authority. That young man, when he packed his bags to leave, you know when he did it in secret. Where are you at? I'm hiding out with Jesus in secret. We're children of light. We don't have to do things in secret. We don't have things to hide as far as doctrine and theology and practice and what we do. We're children of light. We're not hiding things. Secrecy, anti-confession. Well, I don't need to tell anybody. What are we hiding? Let the light shine in. And when the light reveals things that I need to confess, I'm going to confess. Anti-confession, God's not in that. Confess your faults one to another. And I've been preaching this all week because it's so real in my own life. Private confession sets you up to be a repeat offender. Something happens. It's almost like you just break the chain when I tell somebody, you know what? I did this. When I tell my wife, when I tell my brothers, when I tell my accountability team, when I, whatever. Anti-confession, that's not the spirit of God. The spirit of secrecy. We don't have things to hide. Now, here's why I'm preaching this morning. These spirits work within the church, okay? In the last days when deception's going to come, it's not going to come from the White House. It's not going to come from outside. It's going to come from within. So we've got to be careful. That's why we have to try the spirits. Look what he says. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Woo, he's talking to the church. There's going to be false teachers among you. I think he's talking to us today. Brothers and sisters, don't you take what I've preached this week and say, because Rick said it, it's true. Check it out. Talk about it. Be discerning. Is this what the Bible says? Is this in line? We've got to discern. We've got to dig in there. There's going to be false teachers among you who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. Ah, see? First thing the Spirit of God leads us to is Jesus. Denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destructions, and many shall follow their pernicious, that word means destructive, ways. And I'm going to give you what those three words are in a little bit. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And that's what happens is when false teachers come in and they lead people astray. And then you have this teaching. It's like, that's what happens in the church. And when people say, the Spirit of God said this, and the Spirit of God led me to do this. And then we see it leads people away from God. Guess what we do? When people say, I'm going to teach about the Holy Spirit. We go like this. You know why? Because this is happening. And it happens so much. And it's so unfortunate. It's so unfortunate. We as conservative Anabaptists are pretty cautious when people say, let's talk about the Holy Spirit. Ooh, is that how it is here? And you know why it's that way?
because of this. It's because of this. And yet Jesus says the Holy Spirit's a comforter, and it's necessary that I leave so I can send you the comforter. Why are we afraid of the Holy Spirit? Because people have used that in vain. But the Holy Spirit has never led people astray. The Holy Spirit has never contradicted the Word of God. This is true today. Let's look at another verse here. For such a false prophet, deceitful workers transfer themselves into the apostle of Christ. And don't marvel this, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And brothers and sisters, we're coming to a close here. Crockpots are almost ready here. Satan himself is transformed as an angel of light. Deception comes today in a package of a lot of truth and a little bit of air. Deception comes today with a lot of truth and a little bit of air. We've got to try the spirits. And here's where it says, their end shall be according to their works. And here's how their works lead. According to their works, it looks like this. Number one, divisive. It divides the brotherhood rather than working for unity. Divisive. It divides the brotherhood. Number two, it's deceitful. They twist the truth rather than keeping it in its context. Deceitful. And thirdly, it's destructive. It tears down the church rather than building it up. When God's Spirit is working, it's not going to be divisive. It's not going to be deceitful. It's not going to be destructive. Maybe there's going to be a time when we as a local body need to be spanked or need to be understood that, you know what, this isn't right. But it's always going to, you know, so divisive, that means I always agree with everybody else? Is that how it works? No. Divisive divides rather than working for unity. And if God's Spirit is speaking to one of us and a need is acknowledged and we've got to do this different or we've got to address this or we've got to change this, this is how you know it's of God. It's about Jesus speaking truth in love, speaking truth. It's going to lead to Jesus, to love, to truth. It's not about me. It's not done in anger. It's not dividing. It leads to love. Let's describe love. Love is patient and kind, slow to anger. That's love. There may be times when, oh, brothers, we got to listen to this. But the Spirit of God will do it in a way that is gentle, is approachable. That's how the Spirit of God works. According to the works, divisive, deceitful, destructive. Brothers and sisters, I give you this morning. With the prayer that not one will be led astray by those spirits that work in the world today. I give you this today. Please don't take this as, well, I'm an exception. I would never go there. No. And one of the ways that you and I can make sure we're not deceived and we don't go there is by being connected to the brotherhood. We need each other. We need each other. There's safety in that brotherhood. We're going to care for each other. We have people speaking into our lives. And this body isn't the only body. There's other bodies, and sometimes we need them to speak into our lives. That's why we're connected to other churches. Try the spirits. Try the spirits. Make sure it's of God. Let's pray. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus.